Hi, folks. Welcome to the East Texas News Roundup. I'm Valerie Riddell. I'm the news director for Polk County Publishing Company, and I'm here with my podcast buddies, Jason Klopik from Trinity County, Jacob McAdams from San Jacinto County.
Hi, how y'all doing today?
Megan Whitworth from Houston County.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
And Chris Edwards from Tyler County.
Hey, everybody. How's it going out there?
We hope it's going well for everybody. It has been a hectic week here at News Central in Livingston. If you are a follower at all of our any of our social media pages, you've seen the tremendous amount of activity there related to two stories. And today we're going to talk about how those two stories have impacted their respective communities, and as well as discussing how do you do damage control when your business, government agency, school, church, community, little league baseball team comes under fire on social media, and what can you do? Here in Polk County, the Onalaska ISD superintendent, Lynn Redden, is clearly a Texans fan. And after the game, he joined in an online conversation and made an unfortunate remark about quarterback Deshaun Watson.
We've been an integrated society for over 50 years now. And for stuff like this to still be going on, there's no place for it. And he tried to cover it up by saying, oh, I meant to inbox a friend, that stuff. Well, the fact that he thinks that way is a tragedy in itself.
And it's being addressed. Onalaska, if you are joining us from anywhere else in the world, Onalaska is a small community. They have just over 1,000 students. Of those 1,000 students, 10 identify themselves as Black, or they are mixed race and choose to check that box because you do get to make that choice. And I've visited with parents who I know their kids attended that school, and they are a non-white family, and kind of done a little bit of investigation, say, how are y'all weathering the storm out there? Do you feel like anything ever happened that raises suspicion in your mind that your kid got a less than ideal educational experience? And they all say no, that Onalaska is small enough that they had great teachers. They academically, they excel probably as much or more than other districts that we cover. They do have that luxury if they can treat every child as an individual. So we all have biases. Sometimes they're unconscious. I think in this case, this man who's had a several decade long career, I'm not trying to defend him. What he did was really hard to understand for somebody who works with children in a public environment. He's going to pay a steep price for it. School board will meet Saturday to determine whether he will have a contract after Saturday. There is a process that any public school system has to go through. They can't just walk in and fire him. He will not be on campus this week while this procedure's playing out. I've had that assurance from the president of the school board. We'll see what happens. I will be opinion here after hearing from a lot of different stakeholders. I will be shocked if he comes back to campus.
I will too, because nowadays we're in an extremely sensitive and divided time in our culture, and also to compound everything, social media, the internet remembers everything. And the comments you make on social media, whether this was in a public forum or some private Texans fan forum or whatever, it doesn't make a difference. It will get out there.
And exactly. Whatever, everything you do is in public.
Right. And despite whatever feelings you might have about Deshaun Watson, the Texans, and that incomplete pass at the last minutes of the game, I mean, it's just wrong. And the not so much, well, I guess it was a semi-apology, but the explanation of that Redden gave about how, oh, it wasn't, I didn't mean to be racist. How could you interpret that anyway? But
it's really hard. And just for the sake of transparency, since y'all can't see us, the five of us sitting here are all white. All but one of us are blue-eyed, I believe. But we will have a separate conversation, an interview that I did with Representative James White, who is our member of the Texas House of Representatives. He is, as he says, he happens to be Black. He happens to have taught in two of the public school districts here. You can also hear his insight on that. We absolutely want to open our door to any other family who has something evidence-based to say about their experience in a public school, any of our five communities, and we always want to be an open door to advocate for people who feel like they've been mistreated in any circumstance. In this case, it doesn't appear that whatever his biases is, they reach to the classroom. There's several layers of insulation in between him and students for whatever personal prejudices he may have.
There's two things I'd like to add about this. One, to make the statement that you meant to post that in a private message as opposed to public would be like one of us going over to First State Bank and robbing the bank, and then after we get arrested, saying, oops, I meant to rob BBVA Compass.
Yeah, well, unfortunate, but we do, as the oldest person in the room here, I was in school at the same time as Bill Gates. Everything I know about social media, technology, and all that, I didn't have a formal education for that. You have to pick it up as you go on a job. So
right.
Mr. Redden, I assume, is a little bit older than I am, but people in that age group are going to have more challenges when it comes to technology. I've probably sent everyone sitting at this table a message I intended for another one of them. I do that to my children and my family. We have all sent misdirected messages because of technology. That's not an excuse.
Right. And kind of working into that, you know, you hear all the time about a lot of much older people and their charming racism, you know, things they might say that are very off-putting, but might have been acceptable 50, 60 years ago. That's not an excuse either. And if this were the case, if this gentleman is saying those kinds of things among his friends and so forth, and it bleeds over into a professional environment, that's definitely not an excuse.
Well, and there is some, if you get back to straight up social science, there are some differences between bias, prejudice, and discrimination. You know, right. I've seen a lot of comments on our social media talking about, well, you know, we're beyond racism. There are a lot of black people that don't like white people. And there is one huge false equivalency there, because certainly my ancestors, some of them were economically disadvantaged, but there was never a group of black people going to come to town and lynch them. So the white experience, no matter where you are economically, cannot be equated with the black experience anywhere in the United States. It's just not the same. You weren't raised by people who were afraid for their lives if they disagreed with white employers or property owners or anything else.
Or whistled at a white woman.
Whistled at a white woman.
Emmett Till.
Emmett Till. There are numerous cases, and that's kind of a avocational plan. The book I have in my system that I would like to get out someday is Reconstruction Texas, When We Are Creating Those Jim Crow Laws. The men who marched off to fight in the war between the states or the Civil War, I'm not going to argue that debate. There were a lot of former slaves and the women and children left behind who worked together to survive. At the end of the war, Texas was in a drought, and there was a conscious effort to drive apart working class white people and black people with the Jim Crow laws, because they wanted poor white people to remain aligned politically and ideologically with rich white people and not with the black people that they probably had a whole lot more in common with. So
I think it's interesting to me that in this day and age that we were just talking about earlier, that I don't understand why anyone would post something like that when they're in such a position like Lynn Redden. This has already been the issue. You look at Hollywood, for instance, because this sort of stuff goes on Hollywood all the time. Yeah. But that's the reason why James Gunn is now fired from Disney. They had him doing Guardians of the Galaxy. He did both of the movies. Now he's fired before he can do the third one because of stuff he put on Twitter. Thing is that compared to Lynn, what's different from that from Lynn Redden, like the main thing is with Lynn Redden, this was relatively recent. In James Gunn's case, he supposedly posted that stuff like 10 years ago and someone digs it up, drops it. Now all of a sudden Disney has fired him and people are just in a tirade about it, want them to hire him back, you know, because of the circumstances of why it came out and all that, because apparently it involved someone who was like supposedly alt-right. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the full details of that, but that's the big complaint. But we're talking about whether or not if Lynn Redden's going to come back to Onalaska ISD. So look at like James Gunn's perspective. Did James Gunn make two very successful movies? Yes, he did. So, you know, in one aspect, you know, people are thinking, you know, they were great films. We loved them, you know, and he's part of the reason why they made them great. But at the same time, you have to look at it from Disney's perspective. We don't want to be associated with that. It's essentially what they're saying.
Right.
And so you look at Lynn Redden. I mean, for all I know, he could be the greatest superintendent ever to exist. But do you want to be associated with that? And I don't
think. And certainly many of his former students have come forward and said, he is a nice man, that he has been involved as a classroom teacher. He taught a lot of people who went on to become great educators. And he has a long legacy in education that is positive.
And that's what a lot of the actors are doing for James Gunn as well. But, you know, again, it comes down to it's a toss-up between are you looking at his work or are you going to be looking at this image? And I think that's going to be what's, I think, is going to be the deciding factor, no doubt, as far as what Onalaska ISD is going to be.
Right. And, you know, I may be walking send this back in a few weeks. There is a process that the elected Board of Trustees is going to go through. I believe he will not be back on campus.
I don't think he's going to be either.
It's just a shame that a lot of great people I have known for a long time are being painted around the world with this racist brush. One comment from one small town by one person, you know, we have J.J. Watt getting quoted about it. I think there are a lot of people in Onalaska who are experiencing backlash and being hurt far more than Deshaun is being hurt.
Right. That's the problem with racism, is it's still such a hot button issue that as much as we like to say advanced, we like to say we are, or mm-hmm. as much as we try to think we're away from those issues, we're really not. And anytime you have an incident that happens in your backyard of this nature, no matter how minor, if it goes as big as what this is going, then suddenly it's Onalaska is, you know, suddenly the ground zero for the KKK or 20 years ago, well, not quite 20 years ago, but in Jasper, right up the road from mm-hmm. me with James Byrd, you know, and the fallout from that. For years, until this day, people still think of Jasper as just this hate-filled place right, who's never even been there.
And James White has no qualms at all about walking the blocks in Jasper and Newton County,
right
through the neighborhood where James Byrd got in the car and that car ride that led to his death. It's just the day-to-day experience of the people in those communities does not match this perception. When we're talking about damage control, despite this that has sidelined and put Onalaska in the crosshairs, kids are going to school when the bell rings in the morning. So what can we as neighbors do to ensure that's a positive day for probably a lot of young people who have no clue about what's going on? I hope, like he said, he hopes his students didn't see this. I hope no kindergartner's day is affected by the conversations going on.
People just need to realize the impact that social media has. Because how old is the superintendent?
He has retired from another district and Onalaska brought him back. I do not know, but I'm guessing he's probably 70s.
And he probably doesn't realize the impact that social media has.
I think it's certain. He will pay a huge price for mm-hmm. one act out of a long career. You know, someone commenting that I know one place a black man cannot go, but I know a lot of places if I went, my white, and so they use a word I won't use here, referring to what my grandmother would call her backside. If I went my white backside down there, I would probably be killed. But there's no place in any of these communities that a white person or a black person can go and fear for their life because of the neighborhood. Most years we don't have a murder of anybody. So it's not that there's race crime. It's kind of like we're small enough that we can count heads and say, okay, who's missing? You know, that's our biggest issue is people going missing. Not really. Yeah. Racially motivated homicide.
I agree with you, Valerie. I don't think that this is going to bode well for Mr. Redden. And, you know, I don't know Mr. Redden. I don't know what his personal beliefs are. And I've never sat down and broke bread or had a beer with him mm-hmm. or anything. But just from, you know, what I know of this story, it doesn't look like he will be back at Onalaska ISD. And as Jacob had pointed out that from examples in pop culture, anytime we've seen things like this, you know, whether you're talking about Mel Gibson from, you know, 10 mm-hmm. years ago and his anti-Semitic rant or Michael Richards, usually when those things go public, these people really they're not hireable anymore because it becomes such a distraction. And those two examples that just come to mind, those were from way before the world was viral. So,
right.
Yeah.
And we're Mike Richards, part of his problem was it's kind of viral. People in that nightclub kind of posted it.
Right.
And he lost his cool. I think one difference, you can choose to never watch or buy a ticket to see Mike Richards again. But it's kind of hard if you live at Rocky Creek, you're going to go to school in Onalaska. And it's just important to know, as James White was in a separate interview that you'll be able to listen to, he says it's important for all of the school children to know that there is an elected board. There are professional people that chose to be involved in their educational process. They are loved. They are valued. Doesn't matter which box you check or how much money you make. All of you have an equal opportunity.
Well, I think it's also important to remember, too, that we as a society tend to look at people as figureheads of some sort. Outside of this, a lot of people will look at whatever's going wrong in this nation. Everyone wants to blame the president. They don't mm-hmm. want to talk about the countless people that are involved in politics that do things. If something goes wrong, it's the president's fault. I'm not saying that to be reflective of the current administration or anything, but it's any administration. You know, that's how a lot of people want to do it. And in whatever is going on there, it's not reflective of the entire society either. And so, yes, what's going on here is it definitely looks bad on Lynn Redden, but you have to keep in mind that whatever Lynn's beliefs are, they are not necessarily reflective of Onalaska ISD. He's one person. He made a remark on social media that had nothing to do with the school district whatsoever, right, as far as that's concerned. There are countless people that work at Onalaska ISD that I guarantee you are not sharing any of, it, of those kind of beliefs.
They're heartbroken, and some of the recent graduates of Onalaska ISD have reached out to us, and we will be sharing some of their comments that he is a kind man who cares about young people from all walks of life and wants to empower them to be successful. Some of the things he's done have enabled that. It's just really unfortunate. And Jason is kind of on the beginning wave of another issue that someone's filed a lawsuit against San Jacinto County Sheriff's Department and making 68 pages of allegations of unprofessional conduct. And we don't know if those are true or not yet. And you know, folks in San Jacinto County need to know that if they have an emergency and call 911, a professional deputy is going to respond. And whatever problems there may be with supervision, following protocol, creating protocol, anything that can't go wrong in a law enforcement agency, that does not mean that metastasized problem that everybody that works at that agent can't handle their whatever their emergency is.
Correct. And to give some backstory on this, for those of you listening that are not aware yet, a lawsuit has been filed against the San Jacinto County Sheriff's Office by a former officer there named Michael Flint. Yes, as Valerie said, it's about 68 pages long. I've gotten through about just short of half of it. it's been a long read, but it's even at that point, I think Valerie, you finished reading it, correct?
I read through it. I think there are a number of things. What strikes you right off the bat, I've been covering courts and law enforcement for about 25 years, and this case filing in particular is unusual in that many areas of it are very specific.
Yes.
You know, they talk about one of the incidents that is raised is a raid of a business. It's happened many times in our 5-county area. There's an allegation that illegal gambling is going on. Law enforcement goes into the building. They make arrests. They take property that has been used in the criminal operation, or the allegedly criminal operation, because it's not proved yet. They seize that material, they seize money, and store that in a manner that is really set out in the Code of Criminal Procedure. There has to be a chain of custody. If you seize money, you are supposed to log it. Most law enforcement agencies take the, if it's a bunch of bills, they lay those bills out on the copier, make a copier of that, so they can tell you exactly what serial number the bill that was seized there is. And that means later on when you have to go to court 2 years later, you can say, yeah, they had a bunch of money. One of the bills was marked and it was by our undercover person that went in and gambled and they bet $2 and won $200, which violates a state law called the Fuzzy Bunny Statute, because the prize you win has to be no more than 5 times the stake that you put up. So if you bet $2, the maximum prize can be $10. All of that goes into a secure storage area, and the law enforcement agency has a duty to protect that from damage. And that's one of the allegations, that there's seized vehicles, seized money that has been intermingled, seized firearms that current employees cannot go back and say, this 22 serial number XYZ that has the broken hand grip on the left side is the one that we took from a bank robbery. And that 22 handgun that was seized from the gambling raid, you can't flip those.
Right.
So there's allegations that that was not properly done. It will come out in the wash, because they have been specific enough that Sheriff Capers and other staff people should be able to say, well, no, here's a photo. It wasn't damaged by a case of Cokes that got spilled on it. They are specific enough that in the fullness of time, somebody will be able to prove or disprove the allegations. It's not solely based on he didn't like me or she didn't like me or
right
personalities.
The thing is, though, as far as this lawsuit's concerned, the allegations are there. And again, you know, we're speaking strictly unbiased in the fact that we don't know what's true and what isn't. Mm-hmm. But some of them, if they turn out to be true, they can have serious repercussions.
Yes, they can have serious repercussions on many cases. And I'm sure that the whole defense bar that serves San Jacinto County is going to be examining those and determining if defendants in any particular case are going to be impacted.
The one thing is, though, because we're talking a lot about, you know, how do you recover from that? And so when we go back to what we were talking about with Onalaska ISD, you know, we're mm-hmm. talking about what one person, you know, whether or not they reflect the entirety of the organization in question, in that case, the school district. But what we have not addressed is what's the reputation that's right there. So we didn't talk about that with Onalaska ISD, but we can talk about that here. And what's going to be going through a lot of residents' minds with San Jacinto County is they're going to be thinking about the days of terror on 59 with Humpy
right
Parker.
Right.
And that, of course, had major repercussions there, and it had a lot of just terrible things that were going on.
Yes. And some things that we're still not sure what happened to folks.
Correct.
It's going to be the second time around, and I've even already been approached and asked, is this episode or there have been some other comparatively minor incidents with police officers at any department that somebody's going to make an accusation. That's one of the big advantages of a technology and body cameras that, you know, a lot of deputies keep those on, use them faithfully, because it can prove their innocence. You know, if
correct
a suspect makes an allegation that you did something, then you can play back that video and say, well, here's the tape. Lots of departments have created rules about if you continually have internal affairs complaints and you don't have it take advantage of the technology that every officer is equipped with, what's wrong here? Are you that person that will never get batteries? Is that why you don't have body cameras? Or are you hiding something? It would be like a reporter never taking notes. If it's like, well, one time, hey, I had notes, but I was walking to the car and they blew away. That might fly one time, but if we keep having problems and you don't ever have notes, then right that's a danger sign. And I know that's one of the things that officials in San Jacinto County will be looking at, is who typically has video and who doesn't.
That's why, because taking notes, I might write stuff down in my notepad, especially like if I'm on the phone and whatnot, but I mm-hmm. typically almost always use my recorder on my yeah phone, because that's the best way to do it. Because if I write notes, I might accidentally take something out of context later on. You know, my notes, I'm only able to write so fast, even shorthanding, mm-hmm. when I'm listening to people, especially when they're fast talkers. And mm-hmm. so there's come a point where I just decided, you know, it's best for me to just use my recorder, just so it's, right, you know, it does not come back on me, because right I heard what you said. I've got it right here on the recorder. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do take notes in my notepads. Primarily, it's what I'm listening to.
Right.
Yeah, I've become, you know, traditionally, I've been a notepad kind of guy, no tape recorder. But in recent times, I've realized, hey, I've got a tape recorder on my phone. I'll just use this. That way, you have verbatim, word for word, right, what they say.
Exactly.
And I will confess, if I have sat through a 2-hour school board meeting, I am not excited to push play and listen to that again. So I do use other technology and get an automated transcript or something like that, so that I don't relive really boring experiences a second time.
Well, if you're like me, what I do is I go through the agenda and I look at what are the key items. And mm-hmm. When I'm listening to a recording, if it's coming up to an item that's not really key, I kind of skip a little bit ahead to mm-hmm. get to where I need to be. And it's like, with the last commissioner's court I covered, they spent, like, it was a 3.5-hour recording, and they spent an hour, like over an hour, talking about picking a vendor for their copying machine mm-hmm. or something like that. That was the longest talked about item. And mm-hmm. I'm sitting here thinking, you know, on one hand, you kind of want to report this because it's, for some reason, it's got so much discussion. But on the other hand, it's a copy machine. Why does anyone,
I mean, it
care?
Is refreshing that they care that much about getting the best deal with taxpayer right dollars.
Sure.
But when you are sitting there for the minute 45, mm-hmm. and we're all human, we think about all the other things we could be doing. You could hit that next level on Farmville.
Well, Jacob, next time you cover a San Jac Commissioner's Court meeting, don't drink a lot of tea beforehand.
Oh, I never do. When I get up in the morning, I usually have not even had anything to eat. I go straight over there.
I cover a lot of meetings on an empty stomach. Because mm-hmm. just for that very reason, it drives my mother nuts. Mm-hmm. They won't stop and wait for you. It's
Well, Trinity County does take a 10-minute break if some of their meetings are running right. long, mm-hmm. so yeah. that's always good.
And Trinity County was the first place I was an editor. I cut my teeth over there. They have some marathons.
Oh, they
still do. They're pretty epic, huh? Yeah, when I was there, they were there were some 3.5-4-hour sessions at Commissioner's Court.
Oh, I've got y'all both. Oh, yes. I've had it where, we've had a 10-minute break. We had an hour-long lunch break.
Yeah.
You know, so about 70 minutes, you're not in there, but you're still there from literally like I have had, I want to say at least three instances where it's run from nine. And this is Commissioner's Court. This is not budget.
Yeah. Sure.
9 in the morning till almost 4.
Yeah. Goodness.
I'm not counting. I'm not kidding whatsoever.
When I was over there in Sanjak County, I remember covering one meeting where they had like a 2-hour executive session, but once it reconvened, it was just like, we can go home, you know.
Yeah.
I have covered Sanjak meetings that I could not stand up out of the chair because I had sat on that wooden church pew for 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah,
and
then
it doesn't even take 4 or 5 minutes for that thing to start filling.
Yeah, I thought you were singing Hallelujah once it was done.
I said a number of things, and Hallelujah was one of them. The disastrous bad press on social media is one thing that we kind of all need to be conscious about. I've had a conversation with somebody today who is a business owner, and he pointed out that there is one social media group here in our community that but if a consumer reports a complaint on that website, it's aired fully and everyone gets to chime in and talk about what a horrible person you are. Talk about your mama. But if the business owner tries to join the conversation, they are not allowed to. And that's something that we're going to address. So we're going to develop some new products for local business people where they can be transparent about what goes on in their business. Reach out to customers and say, hey, if you are having a bad experience, we want to know. This is a small town. Repeat business is live or die. Mm-hmm. So we've fallen into a very dangerous trap of negativity. And whether it's what's on TV, how much playing time our kid gets in youth sports, anything under the sun, it's really gotten unfortunately divisive. So
it really has. And kind of thinking back to the situation in Sanjak, we're also in a time, unfortunately, where a lot of us have this conspiratorial mindset where every elected official is corrupt and on somebody's take. And we're obligated to report on these things when they happen. But at the same time, you almost want to just scream, no, not every cop is crooked.
I just really want to. Conspiracies are incredibly difficult to pull off.
Absolutely.
I wish people who come up with these theories would inject a little bit of real life in it. Imagine your 5 best friends. How often does one of your friends share something you wish they wouldn't? But yet, if it's a conspiracy, if it is the running of the federal government,
chemtrails,
the
deep state.
I've had a man call in and say NASA had launched a device into the atmosphere to prevent hurricanes. You know, he said, look how long it's been since we had a hurricane. The man had a Wisconsin-ish accent. And I said, well, how long have you been in Texas? And he'd been here about 3 months. I said, you realize we had a devastating hurricane called Ike here about 9 months ago. Oh, no, I didn't know that. And I said, so it's really not a NASA conspiracy keeping us from having hurricanes. We get to enjoy them on a regular basis.
Yes.
Well, see, that's when if I were him, I would say, oh, that was when they were having technical issues.
Right.
Well, I sat one time next to a guy in a bar in Nacogdoches who swore to me that the federal government had caused Hurricanes Rita and Katrina upon us for some reason or another. And this was like he had detailed this and it was just like,
well, that's nothing. Yeah. Jennifer Lawrence had that issue when she said Mother Nature was punishing us for global warming with Harvey last year.
Mm-hmm. Let's unpack that. How does that even work? Mother Nature is punishing us for setting global warming in motion.
Well, if we're going to be current climate change.
Yes. Well, and I mean, climate changes, and that's one of our big arguments. It's whether it's man-made or not man-made.
Right.
And we're certainly seeing a lot of unusual stuff
right
now. Can't deny when your water is up to your attic. But
I'll remain neutral as far as, discussing global warming and climate change. But I will say, I just think it's funny, though, that when you have people like her saying that we're being punished for it, and it just comes off very bizarre.
Well, it's very bizarre when you have people who obviously don't have the science to back it up making those kind of statements. Or, on the other hand, people on Facebook who are suddenly experts on policy and law and history, mm-hmm. you know, to try to push an agenda.
Well, and that whole idea of a deity or natural forces or something are going to punish us for bad behavior. And it's kind of like, you know, I have two grown kids that I'm really proud of. When I wanted them to change behavior, I made sure they knew what they were being punished for. To say that God or Santa Claus or the earth is punishing us for using too many petrochemicals, it, you know, whatever it is, it ain't punishment. It's
it's just nature taking its course.
Right. It's either a natural event or God's doing it or it consequences, but it's not, hey, I'm really tired of them. How much smoke comes out of Chris's exhaust? So I'm going to unleash several feet of rain.
Yeah, God was a lot more demonstrative back in the Old Testament days, but this is 2018, so yeah.
I had a guy who played piano at one of my previous churches. He was a conspiracy theorist, and he believed that Osama bin Laden passed away in December 2001 from dialysis, and that his assassination attempt in May 2011 was a CIA cover-up. Mind you, this is the same guy who, one time at a restaurant, I asked him to pass me the Splenda. He mm-hmm. said, oh, you mean the bacteria from rat feces. So, yeah, this is the kind of guy we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just James White and I got into a conversation about people wanting to believe that they have some magical special knowledge that no one else knows. Mm-hmm. And that's very empowering.
Exactly. I think that's the key right there is you know, the internet, it is now everywhere. It's here in East Texas, too. And it's empowering for a lot of people to get onto a social media platform and use that as a soapbox and get that out to the world. And kind of one of the things that Representative White and I have talked about quite a bit is an issue that has happened in Tyler County or has been unfolding over the past several months that a lot of people have strong opinions about. And a lot of the people, it's basically in a nutshell, there's a slaughterhouse that's going to set up shop in Tyler County. And, you know, if anybody's interested in this story, they can do a little digging on it. It's the East Texas Packing Company. And it's, you know, there's several stories we've put out about it, and there's a lot of things on social media. But, you know, there were all of these wild rumors about people of Middle Eastern descent being trucked in and became at one point somebody was saying, oh, they're going to tear down the courthouse and put up a mosque and all these things. But all these people, they all of a sudden knew this for a fact. And
when all they really knew is they were afraid.
Is that they were afraid, yes. And it's scary times with those kind of things.
But it is very much a function of there are people who are totally vegan. We know several.
Yes.
If you are not vegan, if you like a Big Mac or you are not opposed to a bossy being turned into a Big Mac, somebody's going to have to do that. And unless we're all going to start slaughtering our own animals, as somebody else said, that we're all, you know, another fear is that we're all descending into socialism. Well, yeah, we've got some principles in our day-to-day life that are socialist.
Yeah, does everybody here?
Did you bring your own road when you came here?
Yeah, did they travel only on private roads?
Yeah, did you? Yeah. Unless we're going to start carrying our own roads.
Right.
All that stuff that, yes, there are things that we all group together and all pay a little bit for because we see that they benefit society as a whole.
The greater good. And somehow
education is another one of those.
Education's a big one. But somehow a lot of these people who, and I mean, they're not bad people, but, you know, you have a lot of folks who will use these buzzwords like all of a sudden socialism, you know, America's descending into socialism. If the Democrats take over this, that, and the other. And they have this clandestine fount of knowledge. And, you know, I see this on Facebook primarily, and Twitter is another incubator of it. It's all a big conspiracy.
Yes, it's all a big conspiracy. you have any thoughts, Megan?
Oh, I was just going to say, have y'all heard about Q?
Yes.
Oh, my.
That's new to me.
The QAnons? Yes. supposedly, it's centered around the idea that there's a government operative or somebody with Q level, highest level security clearance who either is still in the federal government or former government employee who is dropping these hints. They call them breadcrumbs that tell about this global cabal of child molesters who are about to be taken down by the Trump administration, in essence. And there's a lot of other things that are supposedly wrapped up in these cryptic breadcrumbs that are online, but that's the biggest part of it. The odd thing, though, is Q-level security clearance in the federal government is centered in the Department of Energy, and the kind of things that, that Q supposedly has knowledge of are not in any way, shape, or form.
So is it Rick Perry?
Inquiring minds want to know. But it's become this big thing online, and there's a lot of followers of Q.
Interesting.
It's really interesting. I've heard it referred to as like a LARP, a live action role-playing game for adults or, you know, whatever. Very, very interesting stuff.
So who do you think is in control, Megan?
Not Q. I think it's a bunch of baloney.
Did you say
it's not a LARP, I think ARP. ARP, yeah, they're in control.
I think it's funny, though, because it kind of reminds me how, like, there are people that say the Illuminati are in control of everything.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of along those lines. Yeah, kind of in that same branch of, you know, conspiratorial thinking. Mm. Yeah.
Beyonce and Jay-Z, baby.
Yes.
You know, I've got some
Blue
friends
Ivy,
that are,
is she in control?
I've got some friends that are, I don't know if they're real invested into it, but follow the Facebook pages. And, you know, I've not picked any of their brains about it, but it's fascinating how something like that kind of, you know, where did it come from? It just kind of apparently came out of this really obscure website, 4chan, I believe it was.
Do you think
well, I'm not familiar
that
with it.
It should not come out of 4chan. It should stay right there.
Probably, yeah.
Do you think that some of these really bizarre explanations for why the problem of the week is happening is this deep desire by a lot of people who feel disenfranchised or people who feel like they don't have enough power, they need an answer, and they need it specific, and because that kind of matches a conversation I had today too about, you know, that they had complaints about the way things work, and they wanted an answer for why is this happening, and it's not just hey, it happened, you know, poop happens.
Right. Yeah, every day.
Yes, it does, Forrest Gump.
Yeah, I do believe so. I think that. You know, I mean, it's a crazy world. It's, what is it, Cat Stevens saying? It's a wild world out there. And the fewer explanations you have, or the more lost or drift you feel you are, but the stronger your opinions are about something, you're going to find explanations, even if they're not there.
Yeah, you just need an explanation.
An explanation.
And you don't.
I like our social media contract, where we don't like, post, or share.
Right. I mean, and we do have the all of Polk County Publishing does have a social media policy that we ask all the employees to abide by that just says that we value so much our role in the community as sharing factual information that we are not going to weigh into conversations about national politics. That's not our thing. We're not weighing into religion debates. Everyone is welcome, whether you go to First Baptist Church or you and three friends gather around a head of lettuce and sing to it. It really, not my monkeys, not my circus. It doesn't, that we're looking for facts. In this podcast, we share our opinion on the news, but we are not trying to influence it.
Correct. Absolutely not.
Right. I think that kind of policy kind of promotes, everybody play together, everybody get along kind of a mentality. And I think that that's what the world at large needs is colleague of ours used the analogy of a big gumbo pot. We all need to get back to that, to being a big gumbo pot of people.
Or like, remember the Titans. Yeah. Herman Boone brought that school together when it was integrated. Right, left side, strong side. You know, that's why they were winners, because they worked together.
Absolutely.
Or do you think, when just looking back a year, during Hurricane Harvey, everybody, it was as devastating as that week was, there was a refreshing amount of, I'm going to put my bass boat in the water and help these folks that live close to the creek survive. And it didn't matter what color you were. It didn't matter what kind of car you drove. We were all Texans. And except for our brothers across the Sabine River, the Cajun Navy, we were very unified that we were going to get through this storm. So maybe some of the problem is, are we lacking a joint serious challenge and we have all this free time on our hands nowadays? Is that what creates all this dissension?
You know, that's the sadness of the matter, though, is it seems like it takes a tragedy of epic proportions now to bring us together. I mean, we just got through remembering September 11th and those events. And then we're talking about Harvey now. And suddenly, you know, after those events, respectively, we were all New Yorkers or, you know, and then we were all Texans after Harvey. And it's just, it's really sad. But I think that that's a big problem, that maybe we don't have a big challenge to unite us.
Yeah. Because I've even heard, you know, a lot of our 9/11 first responders that worked at Ground Zero have battled cancer, and many more of them have lost their lives to cancer just from inhaling the debris at Ground Zero. And I actually heard some people, a conspiracy theory about that, that they wanted these people who have been with a fire department or a police department for their lives, they wanted a fund created so that they could make big money. And it's like, no, I don't think anybody who's spent weeks trying to find one little scrap of evidence so a family knows what happened to their loved one is exploiting their cancer for profit.
You know, something kind of along those lines that did just happen recently that kind of ties a lot of that together that has to do with hurricanes and conspiracy theories and media. Have you guys, are you all familiar with Anderson Cooper's recent pronouncement
about
having to deflect the, that's just bizarre that when you get accused as a journalist or your news organization gets accused of putting out fake news and you have to defend yourself. But he did a great job of it, I thought, with class and very thorough fact explanation. And recently, we had something somewhat similar happen, and this kind of goes back to the slaughterhouse stuff from this past summer, or early in the summer, rather. Mm-hmm. There were some people in that in the group, you know, social media folks, accusing us of being in on the take. Of, you know, a lot of them seem to think, oh, well, the booster's in on this, the booster's in bed with these investors or whatever, and just became a. I mean, it was just
absurd.
Well,
it got carried to a point that it was for one of the attorneys in town. It was a dangerous situation, and other people. I mean, a lot of very good families have been through a long drawn out trial, but just so. Simply because some of their neighbors got the opinion that they were profiting from a new business. And the fact of the matter is, under Texas state law, unless you live inside a city that creates zoning, if Chris wants to open a business, let's say I'm allergic to sheep, and he wants to open a sheep farm next door to me, there's property rights kind of guarantee his ability to use his property however he wants to, as long as it's legal. And the fact that I'm allergic to sheep is not going to impact it at all.
That's so the state law. They gave the power to, you know, not the
cities.
We
just have to decide. You know, Texans like to be very libertarian-ish, minimal regulations. And if the price of that freedom is that our next door neighbor also has that freedom, and it's kind of like, you know, I don't want any regulation on me, but you over there
you
in your house, we want to keep you on a short leash.
But, you know, when something like that happens, I mean, the onus of upon us, of course, from a PR standpoint, to put the facts out there and to try to smooth things out, you know, the best we can, or throw truth out there. But, you know, there's always going to be people who, like we said earlier, they're guaranteeing that they have the facts, that they know what the real story is, and it's all a conspiracy, that they're right.
So, Jacob, how are our folks on the southwest side of Lake Livingston going to fare through the coming weeks and months? Because we're looking at it, you know, a year or 2 years, maybe more, before this lawsuit winds its way through the court system.
Well, a lot of people, I mean, I'll put it this way, because we do have that article posted online on our Facebook page, and that's probably a good indication of some responses. A lot of people are basically saying they're not surprised, which, again, that ties back to the Humpy Parker days,
right?
You know, and whatnot.
And that's you know, we don't know that anybody's guilty of anything at this point,
right?
But it's kind of with that history, it's kind of gives the accuser a lower hurdle to cross, because it seems like, well, it happened before, it's probably happening again, which really doesn't matter. And so far, like that story on the News Times Facebook page, it's got 12,305 folks interacted with that story.
Yes.
And so that's a lot. What's the population of San Jacinto County, roughly?
About 25,000. So you're talking about close to about half of people.
And a lot of those people probably do not live in San Jacinto
County.
From what we see. I know on the Onalaska Post, it's had a reach of over 33,000 people. And Polk County as a whole has 47,000 people. So clearly all of those do vote. That's not Onalaska people talking. They're from all over the United States. And yeah. And we're going to talk about that more as we go along. Stay with us. Everybody be nice to each other. You know, hug your neighbor.
Always help. Never hurt.
I think another thing.
We're all in this together.
I think another thing we need to point out, too, because we had brought it up before we did the podcast, is that, again, this does not necessarily reflect on every law enforcement officer that's in San Jacinto County. And for one thing, you know, if this turns out to be true, mm-hmm. then, of course, you know, we have to keep in mind this isn't necessarily reflective of everyone in the sheriff's office, for right. one thing. And secondly, you have to keep in mind, too, that they're one of multiple law enforcement agencies in San Jacinto County alone. There are other people you can talk to if, right. if you have concerns about law enforcement in your area. You have right. your constables, you have your DPS. If you just feel you absolutely cannot trust San Jacinto County Sheriff's Office, I personally, and I don't think any of us would force you to trust them, mm-hmm. you know, because we can't do that, obviously. But at the very least, you know, there are other agencies. And so whatever's going on, you know, if something is going on at the Sheriff's Department, bear in mind that it isn't reflective of these other agencies right. necessarily either. Right.
Exactly. And, you know, it's not – people don't go in law enforcement to make big money. It's right. not – allegations are very specific. They are going to be examined by a lot of folks, and we'll see what comes out in the wash. And there is protection. I mean, certainly you're not concerned about your family's well-being as this moves forward. Everybody's safe and in their – at home and whatever. It's not a sweeping allegation of everybody that's – sworn to protect and serve. There's a lot going on in our section of the woods. Be nice to each other. Kindness doesn't cost anything.
Exactly.
It's hug your neighbor, pet your dog, take a deep breath, slow to anger, quick to forgive. Doesn't that say that somewhere in a book?
And if you're a four-year-old, let them wear a Spider-Man costume.
Yes. Thank you all for being with us. We love all of y'all. We hope all of y'all love each other. Reach out to us if you've got questions, concerns. Be safe out there. We'll see you next week.